That's right. You know, he was talking about just a minute ago. He was talking about fathers. The older I get, I want to have the father's heart. I want to have the heart of the father. And I tell people that I found out that you don't have the heart of the father because of your age. You don't have the heart of the father because of the color of your hair. Whether you have hair or you don't have hair, it doesn't make any difference. God doesn't put marble on cheap furniture. Let me tell you that. You're special. But to have the heart of the father is not determined by age, but it's determined how you treat people. And I really believe if we could treat everybody as if they were our son or daughter, we would treat everybody right. That means that you don't condone wrong, whatever it may be, but you're going to treat them with that heart of the father. I got that one day when I asked myself this question, would they treat this individual the same way if this individual would have been their son? And I can promise you it will make a lot of difference. And that's the heart of the father. And I tell people the worst place to be is in the hog pen and not have the heart of the father in the house. I didn't say just a man or just a father. I told a man the other day, your son's not coming home. And he looked at me. He said, oh, Brother Wayne, please don't tell me that. I said, sir, he doesn't need a roof. He needs a heart. He needs a father's heart that's always looking and has compassion and shows mercy. I don't know about y'all. I need mercy.
Amen.
God showed me a little something the other day about the man that stopped the ark from falling off the cart. And you remember he tried to stop it, and the mercy seat's on top. I don't know why the man died. I know the cart shouldn't have been on the ark shouldn't have been on a cart. It was supposed to be on the shoulders of the priests. And when he tried to stop it, but what God gave me on that, on mercy, was don't never try to stop mercy from touching dirt. You may die. Because we all need mercy. We all need his love. We all need his grace. And I just want you to know, we got a great father. We have a great father that loves us very much. I was telling somebody today, all discipline is never used to punish somebody. All discipline is used for healing. It's always used for healing, to get you to a place where you can be. I'm just so glad to be here tonight with you. And I've got a lot of notes up here and stuff, but I just feel like I need to just speak right out of my heart to you tonight. Say this with me. God loves me.
God loves me.
Now say this with me. God loves me so much.
God loves me so much.
He will not leave me the same. And, you know, I just believe in our heart. We don't need just information. We need transformation.
That's right.
And that's not just a play on the words. You know, nobody, I told a man and a woman the other day in my office, I said, sir, you need to change. And the wife spoke up and she said, the only change he knows is what's in his front pocket, Brother Wayne. Nobody likes change except a baby. Y'all will get that. That's okay. I'm going to shoot low tonight. You know, but hey, you know, but no, we don't like change, but we like, I tell people, don't change, exchange your life for his life and let his life live in and through you. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. But I heard a cute little story one time about they had a Catholic family and a Jewish family lived next to each other. And especially right now, you know, it's Mardi Gras and everybody got ashes and they have the Lent and they'll go back to eating fish on Friday and different things like that. Well, the Catholic family would always cook fish on Friday and the Jewish man, he was always cooking him a big steak, a barbecue. And boy, it made the Catholics mad. And so they went next door to him and said, look, would you please become a Catholic so every Friday you cook fish like us? He said, okay. So he went down to see the priest. The priest looked at him. He said, look, all you got to do is remember three things. You were born a Jew. You were raised a Jew. But now you're a Catholic. Sprinkle a little holy water on him. He left. Friday came along. They was out cooking their fish. They were so happy. And then all of a sudden they smelled an aroma coming from the other side of the fence. They said, man, he can't be barbecuing today. He's become a Catholic. So they ran over there. And he was standing over the barbecue pit. And it was the biggest steak they've ever seen. He said, you were born a cow. You were raised a cow. But now you're a fish. And a lot of times, you know, we think we can just say some words and change us. But I want you to know that it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to do the transformation in our life.
Amen.
You know, I used to think growing up as you, you know, to be holy was an outward thing. But now I know the Holy Spirit is for inward transformation. That's right. So there can be an outward manifestation of the heart of the Father in everything that we do. I'd like for you to say this with me. There is a level beyond resurrection. It is life. And I didn't know that. You know, when we baptize people, we say death, burial, resurrection. But Jesus, he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And I'd like to just talk to you a little bit tonight about how do you get to life? I found out, listen to me, man, I'm old. I love you. My name is Wayne. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that what is your greatest possession? And what is God's greatest gift? It's life. It's life. But we live a lot of times underneath it. And I want to show you tonight that there is a level beyond resurrection. It is life. I think about in Genesis, he breathed into man the breath of. Okay, and that was they didn't eat from the tree of, you know, isn't it good that God didn't tell him to go out there and get a limb off that tree that you ate of, and now I'm going to beat the fire out of you. But God went and offered a sacrifice, and he covered them not with just wool, but he covered them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember this, a good father is always in the covering business. Man's always been in the exposing business. Be careful who you may expose. If you'll remember the story about Noah's children, it don't want to happen to you, but you're always, God's in the covering business.
That's so good.
He covers us with his blood. He loves us so much. But, you know, I think about the scripture, and, you know, everything is just in the Old Testament. I used to think, temple, sacrifice, high priest, but it's really life. Throughout the whole Bible, Jesus in John 6, in Psalm 16:11, I'll show you the path of life. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And the right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. Just everywhere you look in the scripture, Jesus said, I've come to give you what? John 10:10, thief cometh, steal and kill and destroy, but I've come to give you
life.
And life not only there, but more abundant life. Yes. Jesus said, I am what? Thee. Isn't it amazing? Little words in the Bible are very important. They don't have an A in front of a way, a truth, a life. It says the way. That makes it imperative. There's only one way, and that way is through Christ to get to the Father. Everywhere you, Job 10:12 is one of my favorite scriptures. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. And what's so good about it, isn't it good to know our names are written where? In the book of life. That means we must have life if our name has got to be in the book of life. I love the book of John. The book of John is just so, it starts out, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it goes down, the Word became flesh. And then it says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then you go on through the book, second chapter, he turned the water into wine. And the third chapter, you must be born again. The fourth chapter, isn't it wonderful? Jesus went out of his way to make a way for a lady at a well. Let me tell you, Jesus is always willing to go out of his way. Us men, we want our way. And God says, go out of your way to make a way. And then when you go on through John 8, wonderful story about the lady that was caught in the very act. Isn't it wonderful to know that the only one that was qualified to throw the stone was the one that had no sin and he didn't throw it? Let me tell you, God never wants a rock on you. He wants a rock under you. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But the thing I just want you to get, that whole book of John is so wonderful. And then you go on a little bit further in John 9, he healed a blind man. He said, I don't know. He said, I was blind, but now I see. You know, who healed you? And then, but I love John 11. Because John 11, when God put this in my heart, that there is a level beyond resurrection, it is life. And most of us are living a resurrected life and not a life where Jesus is our life. Let me tell you, in Deuteronomy, it says that I set before you what? Life and death, therefore choose life. In Colossians, it says, if you be risen, and then he goes, set your affection on things above. But it says, Christ is our life. When I studied and I looked in John chapter 11, and I saw some things that may get us to life. Because Lazarus was a good example. I told a couple the other day, I said, y'all need resurrection. But have you ever seen a resurrection without a death? Everybody wants to live, but you can't have life until you're willing to die. God showed me a long time ago, the cross was designed for two, the front for him and the back for us. I saw a cross one time and it was empty and it had on the top of it, it's your turn. I didn't want that turn. Because it means that we've got to die to have life. But I believe, you know, when I think of, say, process. I that word has been on me lately. Process is a series of events that lead to a desirable end. But it hit me one day. If process is a series of events that lead to a desirable end, well, there may be a series of events that could lead to an undesirable end. Yeah. How many of you know your direction determines your destination? You see? So it's so important that we're running to him and not away from him. But it's very important that we understand that process, that everything is a process. The only thing I know that really works immediately, and sometimes we don't know it, is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no delay in the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from all sin immediately, suddenly, no delay, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us life, and there's life in the blood. But I think, you know, when I started looking at that John chapter 11, I thought of process. Everything's a process. Everything's a process. As, you know, growth is a process. You know, to be healed is a process most of the time. Usually it starts with forgiveness. If we want to move in that direction of healing physically, mentally, emotionally, or being healed by Christ. But it just hit me. Everything's a process. But men, listen to me. It's a series of events that could lead to a desirable end. Which door are you opening? Every one of us know there are two doors. There's a door to the flesh and there's a door to the spirit. If you open that door of flesh, it could start a series of events that could lead to an undesirable end. And to be carnally minded is death. God doesn't want us to walk in the flesh. He wants us to walk in the spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the point I'm trying to say to you tonight is there's a process. And if you go through that door of the flesh, it may start with curiosity. Then it will lead to experimentation. And experimentation could lead to addiction. And addiction could lead to death. Yes. And eternal separate. But boy, there's another door. If we go through the right door, and that's the door of the Spirit, and it doesn't start with curiosity, it starts with conviction. And it doesn't start with experimentation, it starts with examination. We know ourselves better than anybody else. And then it could lead to freedom and it could lead to life.
That's good.
And then life everlasting. So the point I want to say, I just want to give you a few things that I found from the story of Lazarus. Would you say that Lazarus was a man that knew about death, life, death, resurrection? And it didn't stop there, because I'm going to show you it's life. The first step is this. And when you read that chapter, John chapter 11, go back and read it again. And this is, otherwise I'll take too much time trying to go into everything. I just want to give you, and I'm going to let God speak through me, just what you need to hear. But the first thing, it said, go get Jesus. Lazarus is sick. There's nothing, listen, there is no deliverance. Say this with me. There is no deliverance in denial. See, you've got to know where you're at. If you're going to get, realization is where you're at. Revelation is where you need to be. Repentance is the change that takes place after we get where we know where we need to be. And what I'm just trying to say to you tonight, we've got to come to realization. If you don't know you're lost, you'll never be found. If you don't know you're sick, there was a time in the faith movement, you couldn't. My sister, she went to Rhema Bible College. And she came home from there and she told me, she said, you can't say that you're sick. You can't say that you're hurting. That's lack of faith. I've realized the older I get, that's not lack of faith. That's being smart. Because if you don't come to realization where you're at, you'll never get where you need to be. There's no deliverance in denial. You stick your head in the sand, the devil will attack you behind. He's going to attack you one way or the other. So there's no deliverance in denial. But let me tell you, all the great men in the Bible, David, I have sinned before thee and thee only. Think of Peter. I thought of Peter. He was so reacted to the flesh. He was so inconsistent. He sinned. He had a past. Past, you know what it stands for? It stands for pain. I've never asked, God don't deal with past. He deals with future. But, if you talk to somebody about their past, I've never had anybody tell me anything about their past, and it was good. They told me about their pain. They told me of things they were ashamed of. They told me strongholds in their life. They told me they can't get this thing out of their mind, the torment of their mind. But what I'm just trying to say, you got to come to realization where you're at. Job was perfect, upright, feared God. And you know what he said? Lord, I've heard thee, but now I see thee. I hate myself. A lot of people say they never said anything about Daniel. But Daniel said this in the 9th chapter when he saw a revelation of God. He said, as pure as he was, had the skill of understanding. He didn't even need to know your dream. He could tell you your dream. But he said, I'm corrupt. I think of Isaiah when he said, he said, woe to the drunkard. Woe to them to justify. Woe to them to call light darkness and darkness light. But what happened when King Uzziah died and he saw the Lord? It was, woe is me. I am undone. What I'm trying to say to you men is this. He said, go get Lazarus. Go get Jesus. Lazarus is sick. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging, hey, I have sinned. There's nothing wrong. You got to be careful who you tell that to, okay? It's good for the reputation, but it's bad for, what I'm saying. Maybe good for the soul, bad for the reputation. A lot of times we just can't handle. We can't handle what God can handle. I thought about man. You know what man's view of sin is? Man attaches sin to the individual. And then he identifies them by their sin. But God attaches sin to himself. And he always identifies us as a son.
Always.
2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be the rights of God. I had to go down to New Orleans and see one of my little nephews. And I asked him to forgive me. He said, what, Uncle Wayne? What do you want me to forgive? You're the only one that calls me. You're the only one that comes visit me. You're the only one that brings me stuff and gets me things. And I said, I asked you to forgive me because I've told people you're an addict. You're not an addict. You're just acting like an addict. You're a son. Let me tell you, you can't unborn somebody.
That's right.
They're in relationship. Now, I'm one that believes fellowship is the essence of the relationship. So you got to have the fellowship to keep the relationship the way it needs to be. But I won't go into all of that. But what I'm just trying to say is, number one, if we're going to get to life, we're trying to get to life. Whose life? His life. Listen to me, man. I'm old enough to know this. Hey, I tell people when they get married, love each other enough. If you can't be Christ to each other, don't marry him. Putting a ring on your finger is not going to make you holy. I tell people very simply now, man can't live with a woman. I thought I'd get some amens. And watch, if I had some women, a woman really can't live with a man. But I've never had anybody leave Jesus. You said, Brother Wayne, you're trying to put a lot of pressure on us. No, I'm just trying to let you understand that we need his life living in us and through us. My wife, she told me, I don't like Wayne. He's an old coach. He's loud. He's prideful. He's arrogant. He's selfish. She even told me one day, she said, Wayne's not coming home. I don't want Wayne here. I don't like Wayne. But Wayne's got to die so Christ can live. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not Wayne, you, but Christ. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God. Number one, we've got to acknowledge where we're at, man. It's nothing wrong with acknowledging. The hardest thing to do is to get somebody to acknowledge where they're at. We're always, let me tell you, you can tell if somebody's humble. You know how you can tell somebody's humble? They don't make any excuses. They don't justify. They don't make alibis. They don't point a finger and say, well, if you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. They don't blame nobody. They're just humble.
Right.
You'll know that. So number one, Lazarus, what would he say to us today? Come to realization where you're at. Once you know where you're at, that's good. Now we have a starting place and we'll get revelation where we need to be. And God will do the things. The second thing is, I want you to know this, man. God loves you. I had you say that a while ago. God loves you and he knows you by name. Some of your names is not John, and some of your names is not Fred and Sam and whatever the names. But some of our names is broken. Some of our names is past. Some of our names is bitter. Some of our names is unforgiveness. Some of our names is desolate. God knows our name. That's so important. But I want you to know, God is a friend of you. And he knows you by name. He said, you know, I just love his story, because he said Jesus loved him and he knew him by name. He was a friend. I got a new revelation on friend the other day. You remember the story in the Bible where four guys carried a guy and they got him to Jesus. They couldn't get him in there. They went on the roof. They tore the roof down. And when they tore the roof down, they got him in there. First thing Jesus said, I've never seen so great a faith. And then he said, thy sins be forgiven. Oh, they all got upset. Only God can forgive sin. Who is this man? Thinks he can. He said, what's easier for me to say? Thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. But what God gave me was this. A friend. Listen to this. You'll find out you don't have many friends. A friend is one that's going to love you when they find out what God already knows about you. See, Jesus knew something about him that the men that carried him didn't even know. And I said, I'm glad they didn't know. They probably wouldn't have carried him. And I thank God healed him there and left him there. But let me tell you what. We have a great father. I've told you about that. You see, the elder son got disgraced at his brother's sin. But the father was willing to be disgraced so we could find grace. He lost his position. He lost his authority. He lost everything. He was supposed to bring him in and they were stoning. So what I'm just trying to tell you, a friend, Jesus is a friend. He lays down his life. He sticks closer than a brother. And he's one that he knows everything about you and he won't desert you. A lot of people say, I don't want to get too close to God. You know, he may know. He already knows. There's no secret sin. Always make sure we remember that. Let me just go through these things real quick. Number one, acknowledge where you're at. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging. Know that Jesus loves you and knows you by name. And then the thing they all got upset with, Jesus waited what? He waited 4 days. He had been dead. He waited. Let me just say this to you, okay? No matter what you're going through, we always want Jesus to show up when we want him to show up. But remember this, delay doesn't mean denial. Delay doesn't mean denial. But denial, if we don't acknowledge, it will mean delay. So, you know, you look in the Bible, Abraham, you're going to have Sarah, you're going to have a child. I mean, they tried to do it their own way. You see, when you do it man's way, you get in the wrong tent and you'll suffer the consequences. But I promise you, you do it God's way, you'll wait. Delay doesn't mean denial. Sarah, it may have been 90-something, 100 years old, but they have a child. 430 years, the children of Israel. But one day a man showed up. Delay doesn't mean denial. Some of you have things in your heart that you're believing for and trusting for and trusting God. Just remember, delay doesn't mean denial. I know it was the fourth day. And this is another thing. If you're going to get to life, you can't have a fourth day mentality. Martha had a fourth day mentality. She said, Jesus, can you imagine that? Leave him alone. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Let me tell you, God can handle all your stink. God loves you very much, but you don't make him nauseated. He loves you. He loves you. So number one, you got to acknowledge. Number two, you got to know Jesus loves you, knows you by name. Number three, you got to know delay doesn't mean denial. And look, please, look, we've been waiting 2,000 years, but listen to me, man. He's coming. Delay doesn't mean denial. He is going to come. And we've got, he's coming. You know who he's coming for? Those that are looking for him. Not those that are hiding from him, but those that are looking for him. So always remember that we acknowledge fact and love him. He loves us, knows us by name. Delay doesn't mean denial. And this is very important, man. You remember Martha ran out. She said, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's at John 11:25. I am the resurrection. And that's what jumped out at me. And the life. There's a level beyond resurrection. It's life. And she says, yeah, I know he'll have life at the end of this life. And you'll raise him. But Jesus, see, she had that fourth day mentality. What's fourth day mentality? She acknowledged fact, but she accepted it. She said, leave him alone, Jesus. He stinks. He's dead. Leave him alone. Spirit's all gone out of him on the third day. So just leave him alone. She acknowledged facts. She accepted. But you know what? There was a big difference in Martha and Mary. Mary ran out there and she did what, y'all? She fell at his feet. She said the same thing. She fell at his feet. If we're going to get to life, not only do we have to acknowledge, not only do we need to know that Jesus is our friend, not only do we need to have not a fourth day mentality, but a third day mentality, even though it's the fourth day. And a third day mentality is you acknowledge fact. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging fact, but you hold on to truth. Lord, I've sinned. I've sinned. I acknowledge it, but your word says I'm holding on to truth. That if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse. I acknowledge, God, I am confused, but I'm holding on to truth. And truth says he's not the author of confusion. He's author of peace. Some of us think we're cursed. God says, hey, that may be what you think. But God's word says he became cursed that we might become the righteousness of God so that you may be blessed. In third day mentality, nothing wrong with acknowledging fact, but hold on to truth. And I promise you, third day will work on the fourth day.
That's good.
And then let me just give you this. You remember the story. They get down. Jesus said, where do you lay him? Let me tell you why it's so important that Jesus loves you and knows you by name. Because there may come a time, and most people will put you in a tomb and write an epitaph on you. It's over. It's finished. Hopeless. But this is what God gave me. Don't never put anybody in a tomb. Put them in my womb. And in my time, there will be development and there will be delivery. See, we all want delivery, and God says development. And if there's delivery before development, there'll be complications. So just getting it. But she said, Jesus, look, he began to weep. He began to weep. Their hearts were broken. His heart was broken. But he kind of began to weep a little bit because of the unbelief. They couldn't realize that he was the resurrection and he was the life. But this is the thing that I want you to get. It's very important. When you can't call his name, if you're a friend to God, he'll come by and call your name to come to resurrection and come to life. And then you know the story. She said, where do you lay him? They went there. He told the church two things. He told the church two things. He said, number one, roll the stone away. I carry a rock every day. Carry a rock every day. I got a little rock. I don't want to hurt nobody. There's two types of people. Those are hurting and hurting more. Broken and broken more. And this is what God gave me about the stone. Roll that stone away. See, I wrote down five different types of stones. You can be a stone keeper. And that's one that works against God and the grace of God and keeps somebody in their present state of being. That's what Martha was. Leave him alone. Keep him right where he's at. He'll be resurrected later on. But see, she had limited faith. Mary had the faith to know that he is resurrection today, not just in the future. And then there's a stone carrier. A stone carrier is one that carries stones, not just one stone, but sufficient stones to give everybody and then join in for the kill. And then there's the stone thrower. And the stone thrower, you remember the story in John chapter 8, they're the Pharisees. What was God? God was holy, holy, holy. My definition of a Pharisee is holy, 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 holy. Four times holy. And a Pharisee always monitors the sins of others and forgets about their sin. And that's why they join in and they're a stone thrower. But you know what? God wants us to be a stone remover. And He wants us to be one that would roll the stone away to remove somebody from their present state of being and get them. That's why God and the Holy Spirit wants transformation. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to exchange our life for His life and live through us. Number one, roll the stone away. Now watch this, y'all. Jesus calls His name. Y'all know the story. Lazarus come forth. The stone's been rolled away. This is the thing I want to give you. Lazarus comes forth, but he is what? Resurrected. He's alive. But he's what? Head and foot with a napkin around his face. Notice Jesus didn't loose him. Jesus could have loosed him, annihilated. He could have annihilated those clothes. He could have walked out of there. But then he looks at the church. He turns to the church. You want to start a ministry? I think it would be a real good ministry. It's called a looser ministry. Loose him and let him go. But I don't know if I want to unravel you. The deeper I get, it may. I don't know if I want to do that. But listen to me, men. Jesus has called us. The Holy Spirit is here for us to take the grave clothes off. When God gave me this revelation that there's a level beyond resurrection in His life, I had a little dream. And that I never tell people that, you know, I heard from God. I told somebody the other day in the trailer back there, y'all hear from God more than Moses does. You know, I'm sorry. But I had a little dream. And I looked in a little church. It was like one of those little country church with pews. And when I was looking in the church, and I was seeing if there's anybody that I knew, if I could recognize anybody. Every person in that church looked like a mummy. They were wrapped up from head to toe, sitting on the pew. I couldn't recognize any of them. And I believe what the Holy Spirit was showing me. Listen to me. We know most of the people in the world are bound, but I'm here to tell you, most of us are living a resurrected life because we still have, there's a hurt, there's pain, there's fear. There's things in our life. There's bitterness. There's unforgiveness. There's things that have bound us up. And we're just so happy to get out of the grave and be out of there. I'll just hop around. But God says, I want you to leave the grave clothes of the past in the graveyard. And I want to clothe you and cover you with My love and My righteousness and My forgiveness so that you can have life. See, the level beyond resurrection is what? Life. And life, watch this. You don't have Christ's life living in you and through you unless, L-I-F-E, you're living in freedom every day. And Christ does not want you bound. He wants you to have life. He wants to live in you and through you. But we have got to not just focus on the cross. We've got to experience that cross so He can live in us. The seed has got to fall in the ground. It's got to die if there's going to be life. And what I'm just trying to say to you, all of you men today, is this. Let this be your prayer of a morning. Jesus, would You think for me today? Because let me tell you why. Men don't think of consequences like women do. Most of the time, you know, I learned that from a prisoner. He was hoeing one day. He told me, he said, Brother Wayne, I was hoeing one day and I asked myself, I wonder what that warden would do me if I stop hoeing. He said, that's the first time I've ever considered the consequence before I made a choice. You'll never see a good choice for a bad, a good consequence for a bad choice and vice versa. So the devil wants to blind us. He don't want us to think of consequences. But you know what God's word says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, the fruit's always consistent. So what I'm just trying to say to you today, listen to me. This is a prayer that I try to pray every morning. God, think for me today. God, speak through me today. God, would You, don't let Wayne make choices today. I'll make the wrong choice. Lord, don't let me get ahead of You. Don't even let me walk beside You. But let me walk behind you. You lead me and you guide me. What I'm just trying to say to you tonight, men, listen to me. I'm very serious. It's this. If we don't let Jesus be our life every day and live through us and think for us and be our life and have His mind and have His heart and have His spirit, get ready for the door of the flesh. Get ready for things and decisions and choices that you wish you wouldn't have made. Get ready for things that would be in your life that you wish. Get ready for manipulation and domination and control and addiction and flesh and door. All of these things if we don't let Jesus be our life. What I'm just trying to say to you, men, listen to me. There is a level beyond resurrection. It is life. Whose life? Not our life, but Christ's life living in us and through us. Think for me today. Speak through me today. Make choices for me today. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Let Jesus be your life. Father, today, I just thank you for these wonderful men. And Lord, let them know there is a level beyond resurrection. It's life. God, we don't want to come out of the graveyard. Most of us have heard the call. We've come. We've come to you, God. But Lord, we're still bound, hand and foot. Lord, today, let us, Holy Spirit, would you take off? God, we're not going to leave here. We're going to let you take off every grave clothes that's in us. We're going to leave them here in the graveyard at the foot of the cross. And God, you're going to clothe us in your love, in your mercy, in your kindness, in your gentleness. And most of all, God, you're going to clothe us in your life. God, would you be our life? There is a level beyond resurrection. It is life. Your life, God. That's what Christianity is all about, God. But every day, Wayne's got to die. Every day, Wayne can't show up. Every day, I've got to let you live through my life. And Lord, you want to be our life. And I pray that you would be the life of every one of these men. Life, God, that we just won't be resurrected and bound. But we will have your life, God. And you will live through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.